Okay, we'll see if that worked. I think it's fine.
I'm not a horse.
Pay is for horses.
Hi, my little bumblebee chickadee. What's up?
Hey, my great frog on a log. How's that bread butt you're eating?
very seedy. You can hear it crunching.
Oh, yeah, we got some ASMR seed crunching for you today. Taking a new route with this podcast.
I kind of feel like the Brad Pitt of this podcast because I'm eating in every episode.
Oh,
I should specify.
Is your beauty just defying time?
He's not even that beautiful. He just, like, kind of lucked out with good hair. But,
fair. No. I mean, also his skin is, like, I mean, it doesn't, it's just, like, I...
Okay.
Hold on.
Wait, we should check a picture of him because I don't know. I don't think he aged that well.
No, I saw him at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's the last thing I saw him in. Mm-hmm. And he gets up shirtless on a roof and is like fixing the roof. And I was like, well.
Well. I thought you were talking about facial skin. You're talking about body skin.
Yeah, his body has aged very nicely.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it helps when you have money.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. And you can sacrifice small children to get their youth. Diluted and distilled, I mean.
Ew, where are we going? Are you talking about his own children that he adopted and then like...
No, not his own children.
Oh, okay.
Other people's children, please. You can't replace his own children that quickly. People would notice.
I don't know what happened with their family. I don't even want to pretend to know.
Yeah, once my dad like sold the store and I stopped having free access to those like People magazines, I'm not going to look it up on my own accord.
Oh, no.
I could not care enough.
Mm-mm. I'll just do that when I go down the Jersey Shore and my uncle brings all of his People magazines that he's collected over the past year. It's like tradition. So you catch up on all the trash that goes on in the world. I guess I shouldn't be so elitist. Like, some of it's uplifting.
I guess, but it's very commercialized. I don't know.
Speaking of movies.
Speaking of making drama out of everything.
Speaking of terribleness.
Yeah, well, spoiler alert.
That was a leap, yeah.
What did you get into this 2 weekends ago?
I mean, we can note for our listeners that we are recording Valentine's Day weekend. And I must say, I did something last night for this pod that I deem a great sacrifice. Because otherwise, I would not have done that. I would not have wasted.
Oh, look at her.
Just way too long. I mean, maybe it was 2 hours in the end, but because I ended up fast forwarding through this, it wasn't even an atrocity, you know? It's like a swamp that looks like hard dirt, right? Or like ice covers if you've seen those videos of like somebody trying to test out, like walk across the ice and it turns out it's like a full man's height length of like...
Oh, I just saw that video. It's like a British dude. He's like, oh, I just got to cross over. Hey, I just got to... And just falls into a hole.
Completely submerged. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was this movie.
Yikes.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Well, that's a good way to spend your Valentine's Day weekend.
Sure. Yeah, I could have just been reading a rom novel, which I ended up doing to like my mind a bit.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, man, it's my therapy. But, so if anyone wants to know, it's called The Lobster. It was on our list of suggested bad movies. Mm-hmm. I have to agree with the listeners or whoever suggested that.
So for those of you that are joining us for this episode, last episode, we read through the list of recommendations for what is a bad film that we should watch. And each of us picked one of those and we just watched them. And so now we're coming together to talk about how bad these movies really were, because y'all did you did some good work. You really, you know, came through with those bad recommendations. So Avery watched The Lobster.
Bad to the bone, man.
And not like a sexy motorcycle driving leather jacket wearing way.
No, man, I would have taken watching a leather clad motorcycle man or woman or alien just driving down the highway over this. Here's why I should probably get into it. But first,
it came out in
2015. I saw a preview for it and it looked decent. It looked quirky and kind of offbeat. like one of those slow moving rom-coms that is like, it's just a quiet sleeper of a movie. Okay, fine. But this turned out to be so much of a sleeper that I ended up fast forwarding it every 10 seconds, which is how you can do that on Amazon Prime. I don't know what Yorgos Lanthimos, the director, and then he was helped by Efthymis? Philippou.
Optimus Prime?
Who is a Greek playwright, screenwriter, former copywriter, and journalist who wrote a novel in 2007 called Someone Talking to Himself While Holding a Glass of Milk.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of where he stuck to. Like, that's what this movie was.
Someone talking to themselves while holding a glass of milk.
Yeah, I feel like that's what this movie should have been. I mean... I understand the concept for sure, but it was just so heavy-handed. And like the metaphors, or I guess allegory, if you want, you know, they kept on saying, and this is a spoiler, like they kept on saying, did you dig your grave? Have you dug your grave yet? You should go dig your grave. And the music, my God, the fucking music. Like, get a grip. It kind of reminded me of White Lotus, in that they used the music to kind of give you this sense of this ominous tone, like something bad is coming. But it was like screechy violins, and I like violins, but so screechy.
Not screechy ones.
No, yeah. All the time. Like they used the music as a character to come in and as like a narrator to come in and say, you should feel really, really eked out by this. And it was like,
And were they actually digging graves?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even like metaphorical. It was literally just like... something you got to do. So we're just reminding you got to go dig that.
I just think I would have rather read this as a short story, because that's kind of where it fell into. It was something like otherworldly. I will say, I mean, the cinematography was great. I can't really speak to the acting because it was so wooden on purpose. Okay. It's in this dystopian world. And so they're supposed to act like, I guess, a little bit robotic and kind of like unemotional, detached in a certain way. Like, this is life, this is our fate, resigned to it. But then when you see emotion, it's extreme. Like, knives slashing and blood spilling out. And there was a bit of animal abuse, which was intentional, but didn't care for that.
True.
Yeah, and then I ended up dreaming about it last night. Well, not the movie itself, but the, like, experience of being trapped in a movie theater watching something that was going on for over 3 hours. That's what I was left with.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So can you give like a non-spoiler including review, or not review, but like synopsis for those of us that have never, I mean, I've seen it. I'll talk about that later. But for those of us unfamiliar with The Lobster.
Yeah. So, you know, a man goes to this, I should just say person, doesn't matter. Person goes to this hotel where, you know, everybody is sent to when they are single, because the whole idea is that you need to be coupled up, right? So some drama ensues, but basically you have 45 days to hook up with somebody. So you see just the desperation and how that plays out in different characters. And in our main character, you find out, you know, what he is willing to do. He gets a little kind of messed up in it, citing the animal abuse, and then, you know, extricates himself from the hotel. But then the second half of the movie is basically he finds himself as part of a community that takes the opposite approach to that.
Okay.
That mindset where you have to be alone. Everybody's alone. You can't flirt with one another or you'll be punished.
God.
Yeah. So that's what I mean about...
It's very much like the dating scene in Manhattan.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm so glad I watched this over Valentine's Day weekend, because it does really... I mean, if anything, I appreciate the fact that they are like making such extreme, you know, setups of how people are approaching their dating life and the pressures that they either put on themselves or that society puts on themselves. So from that point of view, yes, I appreciate it. But like I said, I would have appreciated it just reading it and having control over when I read it, when I absorbed this story and when not. Yeah, because even fast forwarding 10 seconds, there were a couple of scenes where it looked like nothing happened. Yeah, it was like a flip book without the flipping.
So you said it's like 2 hours. You think it could have been way condensed into like...
Technically, it's an hour and 59 minutes. But yeah.
Oh, God.
No, at the 45-minute mark, that's when I started fast forwarding, because I looked and I was like, oh, my God, this needs to pick up the pace. We need to jump. And then the action happened, but then we ended up, like, he almost starts over again with that, like, suck at community.
Sure, sure.
And then you obviously know what's going to happen because I don't like predictability in that sense. Like, you know, he's going to have to take on the leader, and it's not going to be pretty. And then somebody is going to get hurt or maimed or worse. We could have been killed or worse. And it's just like, I don't have to watch this suffering and torture.
Right.
And that's why I ended up fast forwarding. It's like, let's get this over with.
Okay.
It just wasn't pleasant.
Very torturous.
Yeah. Yeah. I can sum it up
like
as
for
that.
Those in the movie and for those watching the movie.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to bring this all together. I would recommend it if you kind of like those high concepts played out over some really well done cinematography and some overly loud screeching violins.
And what was your, okay, so this might be a spoiler area, but like, what was your favorite? And favorite is like, obviously I don't mean that, you know, you want to rewatch this scene over and over, but one of those scenes that either made you go like, what the fuck, or that's just sticking with you.
Like in a bad way or a good way?
It could be both. You decide.
Well, that animal abuse scene wasn't great. That'll stick with me for a good reason. Like the character who does it. It's like kind of leading up to it. So for sure that one where you see this turning point in our main character where he realizes I can't carry this out any longer because of this action. And then there's another scene, which again, it leads up to like, all of these people have this quiet desperation until they're pushed to do something drastic. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens in this one case. This person says, I'm going to do this. And you think she's kind of joking because this is classified as a comedy. So we think maybe something funny will happen between these two. But nope. She ends up following through on her threat, basically, to herself. And you see the aftermath of it. And again, that leads to a turning point in the main character's decision to, you know, save himself. But it's gruesome.
Yeah.
The way it lasts. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about.
I vaguely do, but I mean, I haven't seen this movie since 2016, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just for me, who is pretty sensitive. Like, I just don't watch movies like this because things like that leave such an imprint on my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to look at this animal having been tortured and killed. And I don't also want to see this other person who's, like, pushed to such a brink. I know that's the real world. I know. Not everything is a pure
romance
novel.
Yeah, but I mean, part of the
movie
going experience is to get a break, you know, to not have to think about the real world. Yeah. At least for me, like, that's, you know, why I tend to watch lighter things, why I'm not always watching very serious series that make me think, or like movies that require me to be like focused on it the whole time, because I just want, like, I want a break.
Yeah, no, totally. This is not escapism. Maybe it is for certain people because they're like stuck in some kind of cycle and this is a break. Like, this is a new way of looking at the world. Again, like, yeah, okay, it is. It's some areas made me laugh. Some lines, okay, definitely. But
you think they were intentionally funny, or you think it was just like the sheer madness of it was just causing you to laugh?
Oh, no, they were intentionally funny. It was was portraying, like, the first half I could deal with, but it was towards the second half that I realized where it was going, and I just that's when I started kind of checking out, because like, it wasn't going to surprise me anymore. I was holding on to some kind of element of surprise, or like, maybe I could see where this is heading and I like it, or you're gonna, you know, pivot and show me some different side of this character. But I guess, yeah, I just didn't really agree with where they took it.
I just, like, I have some notes for the director here. I just, if they're gonna make it again, I would like my opinion to be consulted.
Avery Miles, consultant for awful movies.
Exactly.
It wasn't even awful, it was just torturous.
I don't know if that's better or worse than awful,
no,
to be
like,
honest.
It was well made and you could see the intention of it versus, you know, other movies where you have no idea why they were made. Speaking of, why don't we talk about something that you really can't follow.
Yeah, I went into the fan favorite. So last week when we read the survey, almost everybody said that The Room, not to be confused with Room, The Room from 2003 is the best worst movie And in fact, if you go on the internet and you search like what is the best worst movie, it's like crowned number one on the internet. Like everybody agrees that this movie is just so bad it's good. So The Room is by Tommy Wiseau. Not a lot is known about him. I believe this is his biggest movie, but he's also done like a documentary and a sitcom. But I mean, I don't know that the sitcom got much airtime.
Oh, wow.
Because he also created, wrote, directed, produced, and starred in it. So if it's anything like The Room, I don't really think that it got very far.
No.
He was born in Europe, but like if you go on his Wikipedia, his background, his history is very like there's not a lot of info. They think he comes from, I think, Poland, but it just says that he's from an Eastern Bloc country. yeah. And if you look, there's a picture of him, a young, like, from a while ago. He just looks like Topher Grace with, like, a big old wig on, you know? Hold on. I'll share it with you so you can tell. Oh, I can't share it with you. But
the picture of the dude?
Yeah.
Wiseau? Yeah, he had some, I think, acne in his youth. He has some pop marks. From what I saw, his face.
I mean, not only that, but just like the picture that they have, it says an undated headshot on his Wikipedia. It just looks like Topher Grace upset in like a Brian May, the guitarist from Queen, wig. You know, like it just, yeah.
It's a statement. He is a statement.
He is. So this movie came out in 2003. It was written, produced, executive produced, and directed by him. It's also got Juliette Danielle Warden, who is best known for her role in this. She's done nothing else. Oh, wow. And Greg Sestero, who is the one that made the memoir that then was adapted into the film with James Franco.
Right.
About this being in this movie. And the synopsis is that Johnny, who is played by Tommy Wiseau, Johnny is a successful banker who lives happily in a San Francisco townhouse with his fiancée, Lisa. One day, inexplicably, she gets bored of him and decides to seduce Johnny's best friend, Mark. From there, nothing will be the same again, including my life, because I'm just like, what choices am I making that have led me here? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into spoiler land now. So if you want to see this movie and if you're interested, I would skip ahead. But basically, what the fuck? What the fuck? Okay, to give you an idea, the budget of this movie was $6 million.
Yeah.
And in the box office, it made about $2,000. Like, it was pulled from circulation. Like, movie theaters literally had to put up a sign next to the ticket thing that said no refunds because people would walk out halfway, not even halfway through the movie. It says 30 minutes in was, like, the most that people could stand. And then they would walk out asking for a refund.
Right.
Yeah, and apparently it's semi-autobiographical. Apparently this woman, Lisa, he proposed to a woman, but she betrayed him multiple times. Apparently The Room is Wiseau's life study of human interaction, dealing with additional themes of trust, fear, and truth. And like, I wish I could tell you that there's more to it, but that's literally what it is. It's just like the story of this couple. She seduces his best friend who continues to say, I can't. Johnny is my best friend. Like, he says that many, many times, but then proceeds to like fuck Johnny's fiance. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's one dude that you meet in the first scene that just shows up and like there's no introduction to him apart from his name. You don't know what he is or what he's doing, but apparently he just likes to watch them. And I'm like, that's fucking creepy. Also, he looks like a grown up, but he's supposed to be like, I don't know, 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of bad narration where they just like talk about something and then never ever bring it up again. My favorite is when Lisa and her mom are talking, and Lisa's mom is very like, you can't leave Johnny even if you don't love him because he pays for everything for you and you have no other finances. Like, you need to stay with him. And then the mom gets all dramatic and she's like, well, I'm dying. And then Lisa goes, Mom, you're not dying. And she goes, the test results are in, and I definitely have breast cancer. And then this is never, ever spoken of again. Like, the mom just makes this blatant, and Lisa's response is something like, oh, don't worry, Mom, everything is going to be all right. And then continues to be like, and I don't love Johnny anymore. It's like, your mom just said she had breast cancer. Like, is everything okay?
I mean, you got to stay on topic, right?
Dude, it was...
The theme is not breast cancer. What? The theme is betrayal.
I mean, it was a betrayal to my brain. that we didn't like follow this. It's, that would have been more interesting, to be honest, than the rest of this shit. God, there's so many. And it's just like, the acting is so bad. Like, the delivery is so bad. It's just very like, I mean, it just made me think of those really shitty conversation exams or like exercises in language learning classes where they speak very slowly and deliberately with very poor modulation so you can understand. And I was just like, oh my God.
So also a little robotic.
It was, yeah. Mm. The set is very basic, right? So it's like the apartment, the rooftop, like a park, some cafes around San Francisco, but like very, very basic. A lot of scenes are used again and again and again.
Mm. What do you mean?
And
you mean like, the set?
Yeah, the set, but also like just like transition scenes. Mm. So you're like, oh, well, we just saw this. We just literally, okay, all right.
That's the $6 million talking.
Apparently he also, I was informed that he shot it on two types of, so he shot it on film and digital.
Oh God.
Because he wasn't sure what he was going to use. So, I mean, also there, I think that's a red flag, but okay. Yeah, so he like walks up to the terrace. You see him like going up onto the roof of this building. And Lisa has made this allegation to try and convince everyone that it's okay for her to leave. Well, it's not even Lee. She doesn't want to leave Johnny. She wants to still live with him, but she wants to fuck his best friend. Like, she just wants both,
okay.
Right? Uh-huh.
She sounds confused.
So she tells her mom that he, Johnny, hit her.
Oh, wow.
And the mom's like, but you still should marry Johnny. And I'm like, this is just awful. This
was that
is so
before
bad.
Or after breast cancer?
This was after breast cancer. No, the breast cancer was just like,
oh, that's a blip. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So he comes up onto the roof and he's just like, he throws the door open. He's like squeezing this water bottle very aggressively. Like, I just did it. I didn't hit her. I didn't hit her. I did not. And like throws the water bottle. And then he goes, oh, hi, Mark. Because his friend is also just sitting on the rooftop. It's like, what?
Classic diversion.
Oh, but it's, man. So just like the break in from this high intensity anguished face to like, oh, hi, buddy. Okay, all right, cool.
Well, yeah, put on a good face for your friend.
No, but then he's like, I'm having this problem with Lisa. Here we go. Great. So yeah, eventually Johnny gets these fucking names also similar. Johnny gets suspicious, tries to record Lisa's phone conversations with some real technological advancements of plugging the voice, like the tape recorder into the phone a certain way so that it records the conversation. I don't know.
Oh, man.
And like finds out that it's his best friend, gets really upset, and then like destroys their apartment and kills himself by shooting himself in the mouth. And then, of course, Lisa and what's his name? Fucking... Not Greg, that's the actor.
Mark.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa and Mark find him dead. And then, like, this other dude, Denny, who, like, we are randomly introduced to at the beginning. And then he's just always there. And we find out that, like, they were supporting him and paying for his tuition. And he also apparently has a drug problem. Like, he almost gets beat up by this thug who has, like, a gun to his head. And is like, give me my money. And Denny's like...
Before or after he decides to kill himself?
No. This is like in the beginning. This kid, Denny, who's like, looks like an adult, but is supposed to be 18, randomly gets confronted by this thug who was the bobsled champion that I was telling you about.
From Olympian. But then that's,
like,
to
his
this.
Drug problem is never brought up again.
Well, nah, that, dude. Again, doesn't stay on theme with this.
Denny's drug problem? Yeah.
No, the theme is just he is going to lose his fiance. Mm. And doesn't know why. I don't know why I'm defending this kind of madman.
So apparently The Guardian described this film as a mix of Tennessee Williams, Ed Wood, R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. That's what the mix is.
Nice.
And I think the only like critical sort of like smart read I can have of this is that it's very much a male gaze. Like, you can very much tell that it was a dude who's spurned by his lover that wrote this film.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, all of the female characters are shitty people.
Yeah.
There's very few. There's, I think, one woman that you could say is not making poor decisions in the sense that she's trying to get Lisa to, like, tell the truth. And, like, you have to think of Johnny. But she's only looking out for Johnny. She's not listening to what Lisa's saying. That Lisa's like, I'm not happy. And she's like, yeah, but think about Johnny. He's so delicate. It's like, that's his problem. I don't know. I mean, anyway.
So a little transparent there.
Yeah. So it was just very clearly like a hating on women film. Like the mom, Lisa's mom, is written to be just like very manipulative. And they even talk about women that way. They're like, there's always this thing of like, I just don't understand women. Like, women play so many games. What's with these women? I'm like, oh, fucking Jesus Christ.
Women be baddie.
These bitches.
We're all just so hysterical all the time. You can't control it.
Oh, also, so it's been referenced to as like a really shitty sort of Rocky Horror Picture Show, because audience members interact with the film when they go to screenings, because there are still screenings up until 2020. They did a circuit in 2020 of like a couple cities in the U.S. doing screenings. So audience dress up as like their favorite characters. They throw plastic spoons in reference to an unexplained frame photo of a spoon on a table in the living room. And they toss footballs to each other, because there's also like a couple scenes where all the men of the film are just like, let's just go throw a football around. And they stand a foot from each other and then like just throw a football poorly. And then all of a sudden the scene like changes. And it's like, what the fuck?
So basically a fifth grader could have done this movie better.
Yeah. Oh, and then apparently there's a Blu-ray version that has an alternate scenes included, which I am slightly interested in seeing, but not really.
Yeah, I think I'd watch the parody or whatever they're calling it, the one based on the memoir.
The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, that seems at least kind of more in line with an interesting story.
Yeah.
Better acting, at least.
It's just, I mean, it's a wild ride. It's like not that long. It's 99 minutes, so about an hour and a half, hour and 40.
So you didn't find yourself fast forwarding?
No, because it's so like chunky, you know, that there's not a lot of scenes that last long enough for me to be like, I need to fast forward, because it's just like, it's like 5 minutes or less of just this one scene that where something's happening and you're trying to figure out what the fuck is happening. But by the time you maybe have unraveled it, it's like, no, different scene.
So that actually kind of different. Sounds pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the opposite of The Lobster. It does not drag on. Yeah. Though I did finish it, and I felt like I had lost a whole half of day of my life. I don't know. Time moved really strangely.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happens when you're in a warped mind.
Yeah, dude, it's so weird. And like, it's got a ton of, I mean, the website is still up and running. It looks very old, but it's got tons of merch. If anyone wants, like, they make underwear. Like, they make fucking Tommy Wiseau underwear.
With his face on it?
No, it's got like his name all along the waistband.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess he got his in the end.
Yeah. It's so strange. I don't know. And like, it's been in a lot of pop culture references. Like, the biggest one is in a comic book for Spider-Man Deadpool number 12. Captain Marvel gets a DVD copy of The Room as a Christmas gift from Deadpool. But then she goes, she actually wanted Room, starring Brie Larson.
Right, yeah.
And then she goes on to state that Tommy Wiseau is actually an alien criminal wanted by Guardians of the Galaxy.
So yeah. That tracks. I'm glad some other people acknowledged it.
But it's funny because Brie Larson is also Captain Marvel in the movie. So it's like the comic book foretold the future.
Prescient, in a sense.
But anyway.
So we both watched some romances. On supposedly the most romantic time of the year.
Yeah, it really didn't get the fire going at all. Felt no spark.
Oh, man.
Nothing. I just kind of wanted to, you know, throw the DVD into a fire. Maybe that's the only spark I felt.
Well, we did it. We powered through, and
we did it.
Thank you.
I don't know if I want to do a round two of this, but
no. I actually was gonna watch Model Behavior, but I couldn't find it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was more in the mood for something like that, like a bad.
Yeah, of course.
Bad kind of uplifting, cheesy thing.
Right. It's like bad because it's like made for kids.
Yeah, not like bad think because
made for kids movie. Ugh,
yeah.
Yeah. Like kids don't deserve the same quality.
That's true. I end up liking kids' movies sometimes when they're made for adults.
Yeah, like I just rewatched Shrek the other day. Great movie.
Exactly.
And there were so many things where I was like, haha, I didn't get this until now.
Right. It's clever. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. So, well, we did all that work, so you guys didn't have to. We accept donations. We accept, you know, hugs, beer. Someone wants to make us shirts with double get the fuck out. I'm still waiting. It's fine.
What was my idea earlier? I'm going to curse a lot, but it'll be okay. No, I'm going to curse a lot.
But we'll get through this.
But we'll get through this. There you go. I think that's my t-shirt. Ooh.
That's Avery editing this podcast. I'm going to curse a lot, but we'll get through it. Nervous laughter. What are you talking about?
Just thinking about it all. So this is not speaking of, or it is, depending on what you want. I do have a line for you.
Ooh, give me a line. Is it a pickup line?
And the hint is what I said earlier, before we went into movie reviews. So you'll just have to.
Oh, great. My listening comprehension skills are in the toilet, but okay.
All right. There are two characters. It's a small little dialogue. So the first character is named Rusty. The second character is named Danny. Rusty says, God, I'm bored. Danny says, you look bored. Rusty, I am bored. How was the clink? You get the cookies I sent? Danny, why do you think I came to see you first?
That's it.
So Rusty is the actor I mentioned earlier with great skin, according to you.
Oh, Brad Pitt. Okay. Is it an Oceans movie?
Yeah, but you can't just say an Oceans. If it's a series, you got to choose one.
Bro.
I mean, it's not that hard.
They all go to jail. Ocean's 11.
There you go. Nailed it. After.
I mean, I had what, like four choices? Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12.
You also got like four hints, so.
I could have said Troy.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that movie. I didn't really like that movie.
I mean, I don't think he went to the clink and talked about cookies and Troy, so, you know.
No, but the point was that he was always eating in every scene of that movie.
I haven't seen that movie.
Well, that I thought that was the point of this game, is that you haven't seen most of the movies that I've seen or that I choose for this.
It's true.
Hey, at least it wasn't Tangled for once.
Honestly, I would have been fine with that. That's my go-to. I'm like, okay, Tangled, oh shit, Brad Pitt wasn't in Tangled.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of sexism in Ocean's 11, but I would take that every day over the lobster. I don't know. Even they made Colin Farrell look ugly.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Yeah. How do you do that?
I also definitely got confused. I will admit that I made the mistake and I was like, oh, that movie has Joaquin Phoenix. And Colin Farrell.
No, but it was Colin Farrell doing Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, but it is because I got confused with the Joaquin Phoenix from the poster of the movie Her.
It's
very much the same look.
Yeah.
Big old mustache, messy hair, looking depressed.
Yeah.
Hipster, like,
frowsy,
you know?
Professor gone.
Frowsy? I'm sorry, what?
Frowsy, it's a word.
That is a word.
It's like frumpy, scruffy, and neglected in appearance.
Oh, I thought you were just like making a German.
No, I almost
adjective.
Half didn't believe myself that it was a word, but I was going to own it.
I was going to die on that hill.
Yeah, it's even spelled with a Z. So.
A C?
No, Z. That would be frosé. I don't know why.
Oh, he's looking so frosé. Now I need to look up how this is spelled because I had a very different spelling
in my
head.
There's two alternatives. Like, you could go, I guess, Z is being like fancy and then...
There's a frozzy Minnesota.
Actually, no, that tracks. I feel like, sorry, Minnesota. I feel like a lot of people from Minnesota.
Oh, apparently there was a big, Patrick Frozzy is a murderer.
Just today this happened?
No. I don't know when this happened, but.
There's an idea for the show. Just look up random news events and chat about that.
Oh, but you know what? Speaking of random things that I just discovered that are actually, I think, is really cool. There's like Wikipedia speed running. I don't know if you've heard of this, but you have to try it. Like, this one dude was connecting, like, I don't know, chicken to Megan Fox, something like that. So you start on the Wikipedia page for chicken, and then you have to click all the links, like the associated links that send you to other pages until you get to a Megan Fox.
Okay.
So it's like chicken, like, okay, animal, mammal, woodland creature, like woodland creature, fox. I don't know. And then somehow get to Megan Fox. But he does it in like 30 seconds.
Oh, I see. So this is like a challenge to yourself to see if you can match this person's record.
If you can. Yeah, I mean, I just watch him do it. I'm not training or anything.
I'm supremely happy to hear that.
I mean, it'd be fun to do, like, you pick two things just out of a hat.
Yeah.
And see how you can, like, connect them through Wikipedia links.
How deep is this hat?
It's a beret.
Sung to this the tune of "How deep is your love?"
That's what I was thinking.
How deep is your hat?
How deep is your hat?
How far does this game go?
I don't know, but this outro needs to go.
No, I was just giving a preview of what's to come.
Oh, are we gonna speed run? That would be fun.
We could.
We could do like a video one of us like trying to speed run through it.
All right. I'll put my face on.
She's secretly a cyborg, ladies and gentlemen.
My tentacles at a tangle of wires. Need to go under wraps. All
put
right.
Away those tentacles.
All right. See you then, and we'll do a little ditty.
Sure. Yeah, we'll ditty it up. We'll be the P ditties, okay. Or the T ditties, if you will. All right. Okay. Goodbye.
Who's T? Oh, for tits. And thanks to Comise Johnson for her wonderful illustration of our tits. Just kidding. Of our faces.
And Gabrielle Beasley for her lovely intro and outro ukulele music.
Are we going to count ourselves in to say hi at the same time?
Okay, ready? 3, 2,
hi!
Were we saying hey or hi?
Hey.
Hey!
That sounded so weak. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.